Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast, where we will be discussing the June meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. The meeting took place in London on the 21st and 22nd of June 2017. My name is Matt Tilling and I'm the Director of Education here at the Foundation. I'm together with Chair of the Board, Hans Hugevorst, and Vice Chair, Sue Lloyd. And for a change, we're recording live on location in Amsterdam at the IFRS Foundation's annual European conference. And that's probably a good place for us to start, Hans. Why are we here and why are these conferences so important?
Yeah, these conferences are important. We are here with 300 participants from over 50 different countries. So it's really a very good way for us to talk to our constituents. As our listeners know, these days the ISB focuses much more on supporting implementation of our new standards, and conferences like this are very important to get that done. We'll talk to our stakeholders. We give them updates on our recently issued standards, and we'll also give them a detailed understanding of what we have in the pipeline. And then, you know, we also invite people from the outside world to talk about their view on accounting. We'll have a very interesting panel discussion on the future of wider corporate reporting. And we will also have a speech delivered by a former Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Jan-Peter Balkenende, who is a specialist in corporate governance and wider corporate reporting. So I think he will be able to give a very interesting perspective to our participants today.
And that's not the only way that we're reaching out. We also have webinars, which are another way that we support implementation of our new standards.
Yeah, so indeed on our website, which by the way we have vastly improved, it has become much more interactive than before. And we have sections that are dedicated to support implementation of our newer standards like IFRS 9, financial instruments, IFRS 15, revenue recognition, IFRS 16, leases, and the upcoming or recently published standards 17 on insurance contracts. So we publish these webinars to look into more detail at different aspects of these standards. And that is one of the ways that we support implementation. We also have dedicated web pages on our new website dedicated to the new standards where people can find Q&As, etc.
And it seems appropriate, Sue, while we're here at a conference, to talk about some upcoming conferences as well. We have a number of conferences coming up organised jointly with National Standard Setters.
Yes, we do. So we've got another one coming up in September with the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board in Kuala Lumpur. And then later on in the year in November, we've got one in Toronto, which we're doing with CPA Canada.
Yeah, and I think it's probably important for us to note as well that those are regional events. And of course, we're hoping to see people from all around both regions. Hans, let's move to talk about the June board discussions. Primary Financial Statements Project was perhaps the longest discussion during the June meeting.
Yeah, it was the longest and also the most difficult discussion. As you know, the Primary Financial Statements Project is a key part of our work that we have named the Better Communication in Financial Reporting Project. And this month's discussion focused on the potential introduction of two new subtotals in the Statement of Financial Reporting. When investors look at the income statement, they have two main axes along which they judge the financial performance. They want to see a distinction between what they call operating income and what they see as financing activities of the company in question. So that is one subtotal that we should be working on. We are looking at a definition of earnings before interest and taxes that would give the investors an anchor to look at this distinction between operating and financing. And then investors and also preparers, they are very much interested in seeing which part of the income statement has a high degree of persistence, is likely to come back. Very important to to forecast future earnings. And for that, we are looking at a management performance measure, which allows a company to present the numbers in a way which excludes the more exceptional items, the more infrequent items that don't occur very frequently. Well, that is a very difficult thing to do. We would like to instill some more discipline in these kinds of presentations, but that is, it's not easy to define what is persistent, what is not persistent, what is frequent, what is infrequent. So we have a lot more work to do there, but I think it's promising.
Another area that the board looked at was rate-regulated activities, and this took up another fair chunk of the agenda. Where's this project at?
Yeah, so we discussed the possible accounting model for rate-regulated activities. Examples of such activities are, for example, water services, for which the regulator, sort of natural monopolies, for which the regulator requires the supplier to adjust its price in 1 year to reflect transactions or events that happened in a different year, the previous year, usually. And we discussed a model which recognizes assets and liabilities that reflect these rights and obligations that arise from the rate adjustment mechanism. We specifically looked at several common examples of types of regulated rate adjustments to get a better sense of whether our possible model would work or not. And we will continue discussions on this project at the next board meeting.
Sue, there were also a handful of implementation issues discussed in June.
There were. So we continued our discussions about the amendment that we're making to IAS 28, which really confirms the fact that for things like long-term debt interests and associates and joint ventures, while they are subject to IAS 28, the requirements of IFRS 9 also apply, for example, the expected credit loss model. And what we were talking about in June was what the transition arrangement should be for those who are first-time adopters of IFRS standards. And the board concluded that we didn't need any specific additional transition requirements in addition to those that we've already got in IFRS 1 for those people. The other thing that we discussed was a potential changes to IAS 8, and this was a discussion about voluntary changes in accounting policies. In particular, what the board was discussing was the test to decide whether or not a voluntary change in accounting policy has to be reflected, as we say, retrospectively, so whether you need to show it in sort of comparative financial statements. At the moment, you have to apply voluntary changes in policy retrospectively unless that's impracticable, which is a very high hurdle. And so the board was talking about whether we should make that a slightly softer test and whether we should do something like make it a cost-benefit assessment for the retrospective treatment of voluntary changes, particularly if they come from the Interpretations Committee's agenda decisions.
How does this relate to the other project on amending IAS 8?
It gets tricky when we're doing multiple things on one standard. But the other change that we're proposing to make to IAS 8, which will be the subject of an exposure draft shortly, is clarifying what an accounting policy is as opposed to what an accounting estimate is. So looking at the definitions of those two items to try and clarify that. And that, again, matters a lot because accounting policies, their changes have to be applied retrospectively, and changes in accounting estimates, it's just a forward-looking change, and so we're trying to clarify that area of the standard.
Another implementation-related discussion was on the proposed amendments to IFRS 9, which were published in April.
Yes, so these were the proposed amendments that the board put out in an ED earlier this year as a result of a discussion at the Interpretations Committee. And the proposal is to make some targeted changes to IFRS 9 to enable some financial instruments with what we call negative compensation to be measured at amortized cost, which wouldn't be possible under IFRS 9 today. The comment period on that ended at the end of May, and so in June we just had an initial discussion, which was a summary of the feedback that we heard and the comment letters and the outreach that we undertook, which was generally positive, but it wasn't a decision-making session. At the July board meeting, we'll be talking about what next steps are for the board in response to that feedback.
Again, thank you both, and thank you to our listeners. As always, any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. The full summary of the board's discussion and decisions at the June meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's new website. And again, we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much.